The following shiur was delivered by Rabbi Yehoshua Sova, Morad Asra of Congregation Sha'arei Ezra of Miami Beach, Florida, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
To reach the center for marital or familial matters, call the Evan Ezra Division at 1-888-485-VAAD or visit thehalachacenter.org.
Beis Hashem Yisparach, we're going to start this week's Parsha and Parshas Vayelech. Moshe Rabbeinu is now towards the end of his life, and he turns to Klal Yisrael in Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Chof Tes. He says, Ki yodati acharei Moshe, you should know after I pass away, ki ashches tashchisun, you for sure are going to be destructive, v'sarte min aderech, and you will veer from the path, asher tzivisi aschem, that I have commanded for you to follow, and unfortunately you're going to go away and veer from the path of Torah. The Tzohar Hamar writes that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu specifically wrote and said the words, Ki Yadati, I know, is to give wiggle room for Klal Yisrael to make conscious decisions about who they will be and where they're going to go. Why? He said, if Moshe Rabbeinu were to say, I have a nevuah, or I have a haftacha, a promise, I know this is going to happen. You're for sure 100% you're going to sin. It's not even a question, it's just a question of when. So Klal Yisrael will be very despondent and say, look, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're telling us that we're going to sin, so what's the point? There's no point of even keeping the Derech Hashem, because we know that we're anyways going to be doing bad. So what's the point of us even doing good? Instead, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted it to be a conscious decision that Klal Yisrael is fighting the Yetzer Hara and knows that they're in for the long battle, and they're trying as much as possible to fight it back. Therefore, says the Tzohar Amar, Moshe Rabbeinu specifically chose the word Ki Yadati, because I know, not that there's Avtacha, I believe that this is what's going to happen. I know this is going to happen, Moshe Rabbeinu says. But I'm a mortal, I'm a human being, I'm a Basar V'dam. I'm going to be passing away very soon. I could be wrong. It's very possible I'm wrong. And we wanted to add, maybe, possibly, that is why it says, V'sartem min haderech. You're going to veer from the path. To tell everyone, not everyone's path is the same. You have paths that are sometimes smooth. There are paths that are rocky. There are paths that go up. There are paths that go down. There are paths that go veering right, paths that go veering left. There are different drachim, different ways that a person can get from point A to point B. And Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, you may go and veer from the path, but the path may actually lead you to something that's great. But you have to understand that if I led a path for you and an ideal of what the way you should be living, a person should strive as much as possible to follow the path that I, or the charted course that I've set for you. And we were thinking that that could be another chesed why the Eibishter made. He specifically wanted that Moshe Rabbeinu's kever should not be known amongst anyone. Why? Because if Moshe Rabbeinu's kever would be known, it sounds like there would be a very severe group of people who would adhere to the laws of Moshe Rabbeinu, that this is Moshe Rabbeinu's laws and we're only going to do what it is that he told us. But we know that after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, Yehoshua took over. And for the next 28 years, it was as if Moshe Rabbeinu was alive. And Klal Yisrael did not veer from the derech that Moshe Rabbeinu planted for them. Why? Because they knew that now they're entering Eretz Yisrael, as long as they have the ideals and the main goals of what Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to impress upon them, of being a Ben Terah, Ben Aliyah, someone who's close to the Eibishter, at all moments, things can change. But the same elements have to be put in place, even though certain variables change. But there are certain constants that cannot change. And that could be why Moshe Rabbeinu's kever cannot be located, because if it were to be located, then people would forget what Moshe Rabbeinu stood for, and they would not take all the ideals that he tried to entrust upon us, that we should continue. And instead we say, we ascribe to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he's buried in this specific plot, and we have nothing to do with anything else. You see from here is that if there were to be a Beis HaKfaris, people would have a certain level of respect towards that area, and they would say, it's only in this spot that we give respect towards Moshe Rabbeinu, but Chas HaShalom, if we were to walk away from that, it may be a little different. So we wanted to extrapolate, based on that, a certain halacha that could actually be quite fascinating for all of us, Bizman HaZeh, as well. And that is, if a person wants to visit a Beis HaKfaris, and some people have a minig that they only go Erev Chodesh Nisan, or they go Erev Chodesh Elul, or Elul. They go to their forefathers or foremothers' kfarim, and they daven. And the question that some people had was, are they allowed to say Kaddish knowing that there is no 10 men, there's no quorum of 10 people, and there technically there's no one really to say amen. Is there an issue with that or not? So Rabbi Avadia Yosef in his Sefer Yichavadas Chelik Vav Simen Hei, he brings down from the Gemara Megillah. The Gemara Megillah tells us, Kol Dover Shebekdusha, anything that has any holiness in it, Lo Yepachas Me'asara cannot be any less than 10 men over the age of our mitzvah. Shenemar, like it says in the Pasuk, V'nikdashti B'soich B'nei Yisrael, I will make myself holy amongst Kal Yisrael. And it says, "Vayadas karech kibalu mitaych eda azoyis." Separate yourself from amongst this eda. And it says, "Eda." What does that mean? Eda, congregation. And it says, "Eda by meraglim ad masay le eda hara azoyis." How long will you be with this evil congregation? We deduct Yeshua and Kaleh from the 12. So 12 minus 2 is now 10. And therefore, it says, "Eda there and karech eda by meraglim." Therefore, we learn that just like they made a tremendous void. He doesn't quote the Zohar, but supposedly the Zohar says that since the 10 people cause a tremendous void, a chil shem shemayim, the only way we can make up of it is we have 10 people over the age of bar mitzvah. They are now 10 men, and they're making a kiddush shem shemayim. However, Rav Avadia brings down from Yerushalmi Brocha Zayin Gimel that he does not like the way that the Bavli says that how we know 10 men are considered a quorum. He says, no, we learn from the Pasuk, it says, by the Shvatim, when it came for them to break bread, after they put Yosef in the pit, Reuven had to go meet Mishamesh, his father Yaakov. So 12 minus 2, minus Reuven and Yosef, leaves you with 10 Shvatim. And those Shvatim, they had a misguided cheshbon. They thought that Yosef was the Redif, he was trying to pursue them and kill them. And just like Avraham had a Yishmal, and Yitzchak had an Esav, so we, Yaakov, he's their father, he Nebuchadnezzar Yosef, they thought there was a psilus or some type of something wrong, outer shell, a klipa that was attached to Yosef, that he did not belong to be part of the Shvatim. So therefore, they were tzaddikim in their way of thinking, and therefore, says the Yerushalmi, it makes more sense for why we want to rectify, or not rectify, we want to say, just like they were tzaddikim when you have 10, so to us, when you have 10 yidin that come together, it's also an Eda, and we consider that a tzaddikim also. Rabbeinu Bachya brings to Rabbeinu Tam that our Nusach and our Gemara in Megillah Daf Gimel Beis is not so meduyik, and you can't really bring a raya of Davar Shebekdusha from Meraglim. Rather, says Rabbeinu Bachya, the Iker Nusach is like what Yerushalmi brings, that if you want to know 10 people, it's from Achi Yosef, because at that moment they were tzaddikim, and the Ravan concurs with that, the Rambam as well in Hilchos Tefillah, Parches Alochadal and Hey says a person should know that based on that, one cannot make Kaddish, say Kaddish, less than 10 people because that needs a Davar Shebekdusha. And the Torah in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Nun Hey brings the same thing as well. A person should not say Kaddish in a Beis HaKfaris unless he has 10 men over the age of Bar Mitzvah that are listening to the Kaddish and answering Amen. Whoever says Amen without a minion, he's saying Shalai Kedin, and a person should not answer Amen at all. We know the Gemara in Ksubis on Daf Kuf Gimel on the base tells us that Rabbeinu HaKadosh used to come every Friday night, even after he was Nifter, and he would say Kiddush for his family. And the Sefer Hasidim writes that Rabbeinu HaKadosh, although technically he was not a boss of Adam, and normally we would say that Shar Mesim are Chavshim and Amitzis, they are considered freed of all Torah and Mitzvahs, they don't have any Chiyuvim. He says over here, the reason why Rebbe was able to be Maitzi the Chayva for his whole house is because tzaddikim b'misasim anekraim chayim. Tzaddikim, even when they're alive, they're called dead, like the Gemara in Brachas tells. And therefore, they were putter from saying the mitzvah of Kiddush. And therefore we say that it's mutter to say Kaddish near a person's a tzaddik's kever. Because we say that just like Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he could be mitzdarf to the mitzdarf and be mitzi the chayva for everyone for their Friday night Kiddush. It should also work for tzaddikim, who people are trying to say Kaddish at their kever, that they could say Amen. However, Chaim Avadia was not a big fan of that. He says, you can't learn Divrei Halacha from Divrei Hakodesh, because sometimes Divrei Hakodesh could be a little bit of what we would consider a stretch. A lot of times, the Divrei Hakodesh, the purpose of it, is that it's saying certain secrets, and we have to say it like through a mashal, and that's the only way that our neshamas understand what our neshamas understand what's being said, but our guf is not being understanding it, and therefore, as a result of that, we still need to learn these agadas, even though we not necessarily understand what's going on. The Sefer Eshkol and the Chiddushei Rashba and Megillah and Tesvav brings down that this agada, for sure you don't learn to halacha. You don't extrapolate those halachas from agada when it's a massive chiddush, because then you could argue and say, wait a second, David Melech Yisrael, he died, he's chav shimon mitar mitzvahs. How could you say that? So Bal Karcha, you have to say that what the Sefer Chassidim didn't understand is that we say that it's only when there is a reshus of the tzaddik to be given after he passes away for him to be as if he's alive, like Rabbeinu HaKadosh. But once we say that the person now is Nayach al Mishkavi, the person went their way and they're now lying in the kever, we say they're Pater from Torah Mitzvahs. And therefore, Zakh Chassam Sefer says, in Chelivov Sim Tzadichas, he says, Elio Anovi, every time he wants to reveal himself to Gedolei Yisrael, he comes out looking like a person. And if he does, we have to accord him the honor like any of the Talmidei Chachamim of Klal Yisrael, that we'd have to stand up, give him Kovin, there'd be Yirasa, Talmidei Chacham, and the Eliyahu Hanavi would also be Chayv in Kol Mitzvahs. But once he turns back into a neshama, he goes back, like for example, when he comes to Yom HaMila, people don't see him as well. He goes back to being Potter from all mitzvahs also. There's a story that's told that Reb Mordechai Schwab, the Mashkiach of the Yeshiva in Muncie, story goes that him and the Panovich Zhurov were one time waiting online to speak to the Heilige Chofetz Chaim. And as they were waiting online, the Chofetz Chaim was in the middle of speaking with somebody. And suddenly, an elder Yid with a beautiful Hadjah Sponim, he had a gorgeous white beard and payas and a big yarmulke and tzitzis hanging out. And he goes in front of the Panovich Zhurov and Reb Mordechai Schwab says, excuse me, would you mind if I speak with the Chofetz Chaim? He says, no, by all means, please go ahead. And the Chofetz Chaim was still in the middle of talking to this person. And when he lifted up his eyes and he saw this Alter Yid, he turned to the Yid, the Chofetz Chaim turned to the Yid next to him who he was listening to. He says, Rabbi Yid, can you just wait a few moments? I just have to excuse myself for a moment. He says, okay. So the Chofetz Chaim turns around, he gives a nod to the Alter Yid, and they both walk into the Chofetz Chaim's house. After a few minutes, the Alter Yid is escorted out by the Chofetz Chaim. And as he's being escorted out, the Chofetz Chaim is saying nothing. Finally, when he finishes and he walks a few steps, he then turns to the person who he was administering some health or whatever it was, and or whoever was standing there, the Chofetz Chaim said, when he was giving his advice, or whether it was health related or it was davar ruchni, whatever it was, the Chofetz Chaim was talking to this person, and after he finished, the Panovich Rav and Mordechai Schwab come over and they said, "We're really sorry for asking this, but who was that Yid with Hazah Adrasponim? Had such beautiful countenance. Who was that?" The Chofetz Chaim turned pale when he said, "You saw him?" They're like, "Yeah, we saw him." "What sure did we see?" He's like, "You saw him go in and go out?" They said, "Yes, we saw him go in and we saw him go out." He said, "You didn't see any?" He said, "No, we didn't see any talking. He asked if he could go in front of us, and we said yes, and he went in front, and you weren't talking both ways." The Chofetz Chaim goes, wow, you're so special. They're like, "So special, what?" He says, "You know who you saw?" "No, who did we see?" He said, "You saw Eliyahu Hanavi." "Eliyahu Hanavi? He looked like a Yid." He says, "Yeah, you were zechet to see him in a bodily form. Not everyone could see that." So the story goes that Reb Mordechai Schwab did not say the story until Seif Yamav, when he was on Eretz Devayi, he was on his deathbed, and he felt like he was going to eventually go, which he did. He succumbed eventually. But he told a number of his grandkids this story of his, "You should know about your grandfather." He said, "I was zechet to Gilui Eliyahu. I saw Eliyahu Hanavi. I saw him in a body." So you have to know that tzaddikim, they live on. And they're, just because we don't see their quote-unquote body, but their neshamas are still there. So you see that it's a real serious thing. And we see from this Eliyahu Hanavi that it will come out that it should not be proper for a person to say Kaddish and assume that the tzaddik is going to say Amen because, well, they're buried here. Well, if they have no guf, there is no reason for us to assume that they are going to be considered a person, that they could say Kaddish and they could say Amen, because they're not around. If they would be around, they would be a Davar Gufni. They would be somebody who is alive. At least we could touch them. And Rabbi Avadia Yosef brings down in his footnote on this Shiloh, where he says that when it comes to having a minion on the actual Beis HaKvaris, it seems to be that the Gemara in Brachas tells us that it's what we call loyeg l'rosh, which means you're mocking a pauper. Obviously, it's in very bad taste. If you see someone that's very poor and go, "Hey, you don't have this and you can't afford that, what do you want from the person?" It's not their fault. They happen to be in a certain circumstances that they can't afford a certain item that someone else is affording. It's the same thing, too, for people who are no longer in this world. they cannot, quote unquote, afford having mitzvahs and having Torah, because unfortunately it's done, they're finished. And we say that when it comes to something like this, having someone saying Kriya Shema, or having their tzitzis drag, or davening at the actual Beis HaKvaros, seems to be a very big disrespect towards the person who passed away, because you're like, you're making fun of them. Look at me, I'm still alive and you have no opportunities. So the question is that if that would be the case, the Shach in Yerdea and the Marshal, he says, saying Kaddish, a person should at least stand 4 amos away. The Bach and the Prisha agree with that as well. He says, when it comes to saying Kaddish, which is L'chvayd HaMesim and L'ilin Nishmasim, there is no nut in L'ayg the Rosh, and a person should know that. And we say that Muki Yosef brings from the Ramah, that says the Gemara Baba Kama, that it says, V'chavad also L'ay B'maisei, that they gave him a lot of honor when he passed away. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, Sheheshiva Yeshiva Akivra. They set up a brand new yeshiva on his kever. That even though the Gemara says in Brachos, a person should not go into Beis HaKvaros, with tefillin b'rosho, tefillin in his head, v'sefer Torah b'zoya, and holding a sefer Torah in his arm, v'yikra, and he's not, shouldn't read from sefer Torah, v'yispal, and he shouldn't daven, mishum lo rosh, because the person's making fun of a pauper, that's only when it's by himself that he's reading the Torah. But if he's doing it for l'kavod ames, but if he's doing it for the honor of the dead person, like b'nei yeshiva that they would do, they would go to the kever of their forefather or their father, there's no loig the Rosh. The Rosh says it's only fine for the tzaddikim to go. And the Tesis and the Rosh write that what we say, that yeshiva akivrei, which is what we're talking about, they had actually yeshiva over there. That is, it depends if why he's doing it. If he's doing it for himself, he's, in other words, there's no loig the Rosh, like, look, I'm not doing it for myself. Then we say that the reason why you're doing it is must be l'kavod ames. If it's l'kavod ames, it's for the dead person, that would be 100% allowed. If not, it's just allowed. It sounds like l'chatchila you should do that. He says the Rin Megash brings that we don't say divrei ames, b'fnei ames divrei el dvar shames. And the Gemara says, in divrei tairo, that's only divrei tairo when it's l'hanos atzman, it's for their own benefit. But if it's being miskaven, you're having kavono, that's for the kavod of the mace, then that's totally fine. It's not like the rush. If anything, it's a ilu for the neshama of the person. Like the Gemara Bakama says, it says, V'kavod asulay b'maisa, they did a great honor when he passed away. And what was that? Sheyeshiva yeshiva al-kivra, they put a yeshiva on his kever. And the Ramban, in Teresa Adam, he brings down that after the kvura, they would actually move a little bit, and the Goyin would say that our minig to be marked from the Beis HaKvaros should be at least 50 to 100 amas, but if it's within 4 amas, that he says you shouldn't do. Because a mace is teifis mekayma. A mace has a radius that they are part of, and therefore we say it will be usher for them to say Krishma. So if it's usher to say Krishma, why are you saying raisin? And the same thing also here. Why are you saying any funny things that could be a disrespect, like saying funny jokes or saying inappropriate things or saying l'havdal v'adals, saying kaddish or saying anything that could chas v'shalom be misconstrued as making fun of the situation of where the dead person is? And the Maran Beit Yosef in Shin Dal Mem brings down that he brings to the Muki Yosef from the Ramah that says that Rabbeinu Galdol the Mari Abuav that says on this we're samech on the Psukim and the Derasha that when it comes to Meitim and Beit HaKvarot that we say the Minag Pashut today is like the Ramah, and if a person wants to say Divrei Torah in front of the Met, it's not considered Loig LaRosh, because the purpose and premise for why a person is saying that is because they want to bring up and lift up the met and the mace and allow this person to have a real ili nishmasay, for this person to be have a lichtig gan eden. The more you say about and quoting them, saying divrei Torah, it gives more of a nachas. It's not the opposite. He says for us to say that you should do that, he said it would be best if a person would be able to say a little further outside of Beis HaKvaros, but it's very difficult for them to do that. Then if they want, they could go up, but they have to be exercised great caution to make sure that they're not davening, they're not wearing tefillin, they're not saying kaddish. If they could say outside of Dalet Amos, that would be the best thing, because then that shows that the person is showing sensitivity towards this grave. And obviously if a person doesn't want to, they definitely who have to rely on in terms of saying that this is considered a proper etiquette for the mace, because you want the mace to have an ilui neshama for such a case. So what we see from here is that not only is a person judged not only when they're alive, but even when they're dead, the kever that they choose, and like Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, ki yadati, now that I know, and his kever was kept incognito, because we want to make sure that his understanding of certain elements, that if it would be that it's yadati, I know, not that I know for sure it's going to happen, but if he says, I know that this is my own opinion, then people will obviously be able to rectify themselves and say, you know, well, we may have done different things wrong, we're on a derech, we're on a path, but we need to recalibrate ourselves to Moshe Rabbeinu. And if there would have been a kever, it sounds like people would have recorded it great respect and forgot why they were there in the first place. And therefore, we see from here that a person has to be so careful with what it is that they are dealing with and how it is that they could get by every single day.
The Beis Chabad on the Parsha series has been brought to you by the Beis Chabad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultations, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Chabad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.